We are looking at Proverbs and have been, and we're just looking at different themes in Proverbs. And today we're looking at the theme of pride and humility. Pride and humility. One of my favorite stories growing up comes from I was growing up in the 1970s, and during the 1970s, Muhammad Ali reigned as the heavyweight champion of the world for most of that decade, and no one was more aware of his greatness than Muhammad Ali, for sure. He would call himself the king, he would call himself Superman, he would call himself God occasionally. And on countless occasions, he would remind everyone, "I am the greatest." Well, he boarded a plane one day, and he met his match. The flight attendant was walking up and down the aisles and making sure that everyone had their seatbelts on. And when she noticed Ali did not have his seatbelt on, was not fastened in, she just asked him to get fastened up, and he grunted back, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." She wasn't impressed at all, and she just smiled and said, "Sir, Superman don't need no airplane either." And he buckled up. Pride. St. Augustine said, is what turned angels into devils and sent a third of the angels from heaven and cast them down to earth to be demons. Humility, he said, is what turns people into angels. Now, as I talk about pride, I want you to understand that there is a certain sense in which pride is good. It's good to have a certain sense of pride about how we look and what we wear and the things, how we take care of things and all of that. Pride is what makes us excel at what we do and do the best work we can do that we can sign our names to. Pride is what brings out the best in us and in a team and in any group of people that we are with. But that is not the kind of pride that the Bible is usually talking about. He's not saying that any of that is bad. Pride, as the Bible talks about, is usually the bad side of pride, and that is the negative side of pride that separates us from other people and makes us look down on others. A proud person does not see also their need of a Savior. If I'm proud and I think I can do everything by myself, I don't really need a Savior. And so pride is questions our need and really doesn't make a sense that we have any need for a Savior. Tim Keller, who recently passed away, said, "The fact that Jesus had to die for me humbled me out of my pride." And then he said, "The fact that Jesus was glad to die for me assured me out of my fear and gave me the ability to live the Christian life." Now, a proud person is one who is wise in their own eyes. And Proverbs, of course, has a lot to say about wisdom. And one of the reasons why Solomon said not to be a proud person is that a lot of times when we are proud, we think we already have all the wisdom, so we miss out on a lot of wisdom because we're not searching for it anymore because we know it all. Be careful of that kind of pride. Proverbs 3 verse 7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Shun evil." Proverbs 16:2. "All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord." And Proverbs 21:2 says, "A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart." And so a lot of times, you know, I can think the way I think is the right way. But humility allows me to at least consider other options and look at other things, and be exposed to other things that might be right, that might bring what I'm thinking and show me that it's not right. Humility is so important in that. Will Rogers said, it's not what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you are absolutely sure of that just isn't so that gets you in trouble. Proud people also tend to exalt themselves. They live to exalt themselves and point themselves out and draw attention to themselves. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2 says, let someone else praise you and not your own mouth. An outsider and not your own lips. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 32 says, if you play the fool and exalt yourself, or if you plan evil, clap your hand over your mouth. So he's just saying, be careful that you don't get to the point in life where you're just always praising yourself and exalting yourself. Now, Proverbs also wants us to know that if we are proud, eventually we're going to pay a price for that. There's penalties for pride. First of all, we need to know that God says, last week we talked about the seven things that God hates from Proverbs chapter 6. Here's another thing that God hates. God hates pride. Proverbs 8:13. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. God hates it when we are just proud. Proverbs 15:25 says, the Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. And you see all the way through Proverbs that God cares for those who are down and out. And here he's looking out for the widow, but he tears down the house of the proud. Proverbs 16, verse 5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Now, one of the other things that happens when we are proud is that we tend to create problems where there aren't any problems. Proverbs 13:10, where there is strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. You know, when I'm not going to take any advice, I'm going to just stand my ground, have my own way and all of that. That kind of arrogance creates strife and problems around me. Proverbs 21, verse 4 says, haughty eyes and a proud heart. The unplowed field of the wicked produces sin. Now, out in front of the parsonage that's been there for 70 years, the soil up in front of it had grown up about 6 inches above the sidewalks. And so a couple years ago, I did the little patch straight out in front of the parsonage and got that all leveled down to the side of the sidewalk. And when Mike was working over there on the other side of me, I decided it's time to take care of the other side. And I don't know why, but it was much more difficult. And, we used the bobcat or skid steer or whatever, and we came in, and it should have been like a 15-minute project to just take that topsoil and move it over. And they spent a couple hours plus and dug and did everything they could, and they couldn't hardly budge that soil. And anyway, once we got it all leveled off, it was like cement. And it's not just dry. I mean, it's just rock hard. And Superman here thought that I could just take a tiller and till it up. Well, I pulled muscles and did all kinds of other things, did more damage to myself than I did to that soil. because it was a lot harder than me. And, you know, it just walked across it. But anyway, I think we're about to the place where we can put some grass seed in there and all of that. But that hard soil that had been there for 70 years is symbolic. And what Solomon is saying here, a proud heart is like that hard soil. It's unplowed field of the wicked, and it produces sin. So if we haven't allowed our hearts to be worked over by God in the hard things that we go through in life, Our heart just becomes hard and brittle, and we have to keep our hearts soft and moldable and let God work it through all the things that we go through in life. We want to make sure that our hearts are soft before God and not proud before Him and become hard. One of the other things that Proverbs says about pride is that pride will eventually boomerang on us. It will cause destruction. Proverbs 11 verse 2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. With humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 16 verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. How many, you've all seen people that, you know, bragged or did something or other and then right after that had a big fall. You know, that's happened to the best of us. And the next verse there says, better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Now, Craig Rochelle wrote a devotional some time ago, and he said, so many of us try to define ourselves by our accomplishments, to find our worth in the things that we have done instead of in whom we belong to. The problem is pride there. And the problem is that pride can be intoxicating, but the hangover from that is inevitable. If pride rules in our life, pride will also eventually destroy us. Proverbs 18:12 says, before a downfall, the heart is haughty or proud, but humility comes before honor. So what is the opposite of pride? What is humility? Because a lot of times we get misguided ideas of what humility is. Proverbs 22 verse 4 defines it in a biblical term for us. Humility is just the fear and reverence of the Lord. Fear and reverence of the Lord. And its wages are riches and honor and life. So humility, one of my professors from college that I highly respected said, humility is not thinking less of ourselves. It is just thinking of ourselves less. When we don't live our lives always thinking about ourselves, that's what humility is. It doesn't mean that we undervalue ourselves or undermine ourselves. We just don't have to think about ourselves all the time. Because we're thinking about God, and we don't think of ourselves as the center of the universe. We become God-centered and God-confident. Humility allows us to remember that God can use us, and we can be thankful for that, and we can be confident in that. If you think the omnipotent God of the universe can't use you, and if you think that's what humility is, then you don't think right. Bob said, either that or God is not omnipotent if He can't use you. So humility is not thinking that I can't ever do anything. It's not to demean yourself or put yourself down. Humility is just not to be living your life always thinking about yourself. It's just thinking about God and what you can do in serving and loving Him. You cannot be full of yourself and be focused on God and focused on serving other people. That's just serving two masters, and it just does not work. John Maxwell said, humility is an everyday choice to credit my blessings to God and to credit my success to the people around me. I love that. To credit my blessings to God and to credit my successes to the people around me. Richard Foster, who wrote Celebration of Discipline and is still alive today, wrote that humility is the foundational virtue. If you don't nail humility down in your life, you'll tend to shortchange yourself on building other character traits in your life. It makes all the other virtues and character traits possible. Humility comes by finding people that you can serve and get to know. Every aspect of the life of Jesus was grounded in humility. To become like Jesus, we need humility. We value arrogance and self-promotion in our culture, but Jesus came and he never sought equality with God, even though he was God himself. And he humbled himself, even becoming obedient to death on a cross. Also, I want to say this morning that humility is not weakness. Jesus is the perfect example of that in our lives. He was humble, but he was able to bear the weak, a passion, stand up on, under all the suffering. Don't tell me that didn't take some strength. To go through the crucifixion and all of that, the strength that it took to go through that week is incredible. Jesus was humble, but he was strong in that humility. Moses led the Israelites, grumbling Israelites, for 40 years in the wilderness. And what did God say about him in his death? He was the meekest, the King James said, or the most humble man on the face of the earth. And yet he had led the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. So humility is not weakness by any stretch. Stephen Covey writes, being humble does not mean being weak or reticent or self-effacing. It means recognizing principle, even in the face of opposition. Humble people can negotiate intensely. They can drive hard bargains. They can express themselves firmly and clearly in intense situations and in close personal relationships. All virtue and all character is also based on truth. And humility has to be based in truth. If we're basing our humility on some false idea, then humility isn't really true. It can be flattery or any number of other things. But humility is based in a true understanding of who God is, a true understanding of who he has made each one of us to be, and a true understanding of our relationship to God. It's based on a true understanding of our real weaknesses and our real strengths. Humility has to be based in that kind of truth. John Ruskin said, really great men have this curious feeling that greatness is not in them. Greatness is through them. And they see something divine in every other person and are endlessly and foolishly and incredibly merciful to other people. Humility might even show itself in a great deal of confidence. In an area of giftedness, Coach Bill McCartney said, humility is harnessed power. I love that analogy. Harnessed power. And you see some of the greatest people, the heroes of the Bible that were greatly humble, they had great power in their life. Jesus had great power in his life, even though he humbled himself. People will follow Mark Cole, who leads much of John Maxwell's ministry today, said people will follow a leader who is humble, providing this, that they can produce. You see, if you're just humble, that doesn't mean anyone that wants to follow you, because you might not be going anywhere. You might just be humble. But he said if you can produce and you're humbled at the same time, people will follow that. They will. True humility is found in people who respect themselves and possess passion and strength and confidence. And then he goes on to say humble leaders are responsible. They are objective. They are open-minded. They are flexible, inspirational, respectful, and connected. And he says then, don't be humble in your calling and in competitiveness and in character and in values. Be humble in terms of your spirit towards God. Let God be the focus of your life. So there's a proper place for humility, and that is primarily before God and before other people. If we are humble before God, We can be humble with people and still be strong in what God has called each one of us to do and do the work that he's called us to. Now, there's some rewards. Just as there are penalties for pride, God tells us that there are rewards for humility. First of all, God shows favor to the humble. Proverbs 3:34, God mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and to the oppressed. Secondly, humility tends to create peace. If you have a family and there's just a lot of humility built into that family, you're going to have a lot more peaceful family than where there's pride. If you're part of a church and there's just a lot of humility in that church body, you're not going to have near as many church fights where there's humility there. If you're part of a social organization or a school or whatever you're part of, if there's some humility there, it's going to be a much happier place to be than where you have a bunch of people who are proud and arrogant. So humility produces peace. One of the things that happens, if you've got some sense of humility, you don't get easily offended at everything that is said or done around you. A proud person can get upset and offended over anything and everything. But if you've got some humility, you can just kind of roll with it and say, well, that's what they think. And off we go. And you don't have to, you know, cause a big stir and all of that. Humility causes us to remember that we are human. And to remember that that means that we are the top of all God's created things. And yet, God created us. We were created by God in His very image for His glory and for His honor. And humility always remembers what it means to be human, that we were created in God's image and we were the top of all of His creation and the thing that He delighted in. Humility allows us to see God. It allows us to see ourselves. It allows us to look at other people more clearly. We can even laugh at ourselves without demeaning ourselves if we have that sense of humility. Humility also brings freedom to our lives. The proud person is just in a box that they can't escape. But humility allows some freedom. Dr. Larry Hughes was another one of my professors in college and also one of the best preachers I've ever heard. And he said, humility is knowing who you are before God and being so secure in that knowledge that nothing is too menial, too low, or too high for you to be willing to do. Too low or too high, you can do it all just because you know who you are in God. The humble person also is one who is willing to learn. They become wise because they are willing to learn, to be challenged in their thinking and all of that. Proverbs 1:5, let the wise man listen and add to their learning and let the discerning get guidance. Proverbs 13:10 says, where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Proverbs 15:31 says, whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. And Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise. Humility, lastly, leads to honor. Proverbs 15:33, wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor, 18:12. And then 29:23 is like that. Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. Jim Collins wrote a leadership book some years ago called Good to Great. And in that, he did a lot of research just looking at CEOs of companies 500 and greater and all of that, and they just studied the character trait of those leaders that had taken organizations from just being average to really super great organizations. And they just got in the minds of those CEOs. And he said, we were surprised, shocked really, to discover the type of leadership required in turning a good company into a great one. Compared to the high-profile leaders with big personalities who make headlines and become celebrities, the good to great leaders, the leaders who took companies from good to great, they seem to have come from Mars. They were self-effacing, quiet, reserved, even shy. These leaders are a paradoxical blend of personal humility and professional will. Personally humble, but had drive in them. Personal will. They are much more like Lincoln and Socrates than that of Patton and Caesar. Solomon wrote the books of Proverbs, much of Proverbs anyway, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the book of Song of Solomon. During his lifetime, he built that magnificent temple, something that any one of us would be proud to be proud of. He served as the third king of Israel, and he was known around the whole world of his day as the wisest and richest man in the world. Too many people get credit for both of those two things. But the wisest and the richest man in the whole world. And when he comes to the end of his book in Ecclesiastes, he comes with this reminder to all of us, regardless of what we have and regardless of what we have done, regardless of who we think we are, he says this: fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. That's the lesson of humility. Fear God. Just revere God. Think more about him than you think about yourself. And live your life for his glory and for his honor. Let us pray. Father, we come before you today and we just thank you for the privilege of being instructed by the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the great wisdom that we find in it, for how you lead us and direct us and teach us how to live. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that comes along and guides us and directs us also. And we just pray, Lord, that you would continue as we walk through Proverbs to just fill us with wisdom from you. Today, Father, we want to pray, Lord, that your Spirit would work in each one of us to help us to see those areas where there might be some pride stepping in and getting in the way. Help us to see those areas where humility would be an asset to us, where humility would help us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to fix those ideas of humility that some of us have gathered along the way that may not be biblical humility. And I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to be personally humble, where we just revere God and fear God and look to God as the most awesome thing that we could center our lives on and want to please, instead of focusing our lives on ourselves. I pray, Father, today that you would help us just to want to live our lives for your glory and for your honor, to live for Jesus who gave his life for each one of us. And then, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, as we live for Jesus, to do the very best to offer ourselves up to you and say, God, here I am. Use me as best you can to do the most we can for you. In Jesus' name, amen.